All right. Well, right now we are going to the phone lines where we are joined by Dr. Raghi Gurgis. He is the author of On Satan, Demons, and Psychiatry, Exploring Mental Illness in the Bible. Dr. Gurgis, welcome to the Wake Up Call Morning Show.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me, Tommy and Jeff.
It's good to have you with us. In your book, you talk about mental illness and the Bible, and you distinguish between even severe mental illness. First off, well, how do you describe mental illness and severe mental illness, and what do you focus on in the book?
Sure. Well, thank you very much again. So serious mental illness is a term or phrase that primarily means mental illness related to psychosis. So this really means the psychotic disorders like schizophrenia, severe bipolar disorder, severe depression. So severe mental illness, or rather serious mental illness, primarily refers to those conditions. All the other conditions, anxiety, depression, those types, which can be very severe, aren't typically classified as serious mental illness, although they can be very severe themselves. But again, serious mental illness primarily means mental illness that includes, you know, some version of psychosis. Again, schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, severe depression.
So is there, when you're talking psychosis, are you talking about some disconnect from reality in those cases?
Exactly. These are delusions like paranoia. I think the CIA is after me. I think the FBI is after me. People are watching me. Aliens are, you know, inhabiting other people and monitoring me. Hallucinations. Usually hearing things that aren't there. Often their names, voices saying things. Sometimes people hear a running commentary. Or just severely disorganized behavior. For example, a lot of the people who live on the street, you know, they act in a very strange way. And that's what we call disorganized behavior. That's also considered a psychotic symptom. Those are kind of what we refer to as psychotic symptoms.
And something that, a term that we hear quite often, both I think improperly diagnosed or talked about, described to somebody that maybe misunderstood, is bipolar. Can you explain what bipolarism is?
Sure. So bipolar, you're right, that's often misunderstood. And so I appreciate you asking me this question. So bipolar disorder is considered serious mental illness, and it's a very, very severe condition. It's actually quite rare. You know, bipolar disorder type 1 is how it's called. It's actually quite rare. What this means, it does involve, you know, mood instability, you know, the highs and lows, but not minute to minute or hour to hour or even day to day. What bipolar disorder means is that, you know, people have at least a week or longer of manic episodes, which means extremely high highs, extremely happy, speaking very fast, sleeping very little, thinking very fast. And a lot of people sometimes would say, oh, you know, I feel like that. Sometimes they become very productive. But by definition, a manic episode is so severe that one wouldn't be able to function. So when I talk to people and ask them about whether they've actually had a manic episode, I ask them about, you know, sleeping less and speaking very quickly and feeling very happy. But then I always add in the functional component. And that's critical for all psychiatric conditions that they affect function. But bipolar disorder in particular, if someone has bipolar disorder, that means that they really achieve the level of functioning that would have required usually hospitalization in a psychiatric hospital. Mm-hmm. And then on the other side, the depressive episodes. And these are, you know, 2 weeks or longer of low mood, feeling suicidal, less sleep, less appetite, less energy. And again, so severe that you're either very unable to function or need to be hospitalized.
You know, when we're talking about this, and of course you're writing from a biblical perspective, a Christian perspective, what is the biggest misconception that Christians have about mental illness that you would like to address or correct?
Thank you, yes. I also want to make clear, I wrote the book with the Christian believer in mind just because I'm a Christian and that's kind of what I know. I think there's a lot of stigma and misunderstanding about mental illness, but again, since I know most about, you know, Christian understanding, I wrote this book for Christian believers. But among Christian believers, I would say a couple of things. Either one, that psychiatric illnesses or mental illnesses primarily related to moral weakness or bad parenting or volition. I would say those are probably the main misconceptions.
That this is, for many cases, mental illness is not unlike, you know, having cancer or heart disease or something like that. Something is physically wrong with the body, correct? I mean, the mind, maybe there's imbalances and chemicals or whatever in the brain. I mean, does a lot of it relate back to that or the structure of the brain?
Undoubtedly. And in fact, this is, you know, very, very objective, I would say. You know, conditions like cancer, high blood pressure, hypertension, diabetes, all severe. You know, I think people would accept that these are, you know, quote unquote biological or, you know, genetic, and they are. But actually, you know, mental illness is much more biological, much more genetic than these other conditions. These other conditions are very, you know, I mean, again, it's not black or white, but, you know, the proportion of, you know, the risk of these conditions that's related to behavior or, you know, culture or other things is much greater than the amount of risk of mental illness is related to to these types of things. So, for example, you really can't prevent a mental illness. You know, if you have a genetic predisposition to anxiety, you're going to get it. If you have a predisposition to schizophrenia, you're going to get it. Whereas diabetes is almost, say, 98% environmental, high blood pressure, mostly environmental. You can prevent that if you know, well, exercise, cancer. Again, maybe not 100, maybe not 95%, but, you know, smoking, alcohol, eating well. If you, you know, take care of these things, you can prevent an, you know, a large number of cancers, whereas you can't do that with mental illness.
Does demonic forces play a part in any mental illness?
Right. So I appreciate that question again, because that really does get at the crux of the book. I mean, I guess it depends on what you mean by demonic forces, and I go into this in detail in the book, but I want to say that, you know, my goal with the book was not necessarily to change people's minds about, you know, what the Bible says about, you know, exorcisms and demonic possession, but what I did try to make clear in the book was that mental illness and evil and Satan and whatnot are different. They're not the same. A lot of people believe in kind of a false equivalence between, you know, sin and evil and mental illness, and it's just not there. So, for example, I go into, you know, that there are a number of exorcisms described in the Bible, but the main ones done by Jesus Christ, for example, or exorcisms as they're called, you know, would in a post-Enlightenment kind of narrative or perspective be understood as mental illness? Everything was done or described was very consistent with mental illness. I also then in the book describe how Satan, you know, really acts. You know, we know Satan, you know, tempts people, that causes sin, etc. But the question is, you know, can Satan control a person? Can Satan possess someone and produce mental illness? And actually, the Bible is very clear that that's not possible. The Bible itself, again, my book is based completely on the Bible to see what the Bible says about it. The Bible is very clear. Satan has no power over creation. He has no power over, you know, the physical body or any physical component of his mental illness.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. I'm a pastor in addition to being a host here, Dr. Gerges, and I like to tell people, you know, the idea of demonic possession bears more in mind with movies like The Exorcist than the Bible, that Satan has the power to influence us. He does not have the power to control us. And I think that's a great distinction that you make there.
I appreciate, you know, you as a pastor, I mean, you know more than anyone. I find actually that pastors know this very well. It's maybe more the lady that don't know it quite as well, but I think you guys probably asked to deal with the mentally ill even as much more than people like myself, you know, psychiatrists or other people in the field of mental health. And so I do appreciate when I speak with pastors and other leaders of the church how well you all, you know, understand the difference between mental illness and, you know, sin and temptation.
Well, and you give examples in your book of people in the Bible who suffered from what you would say were some kind of psychotic or mental illness. Can you give us maybe one example of a character in the Bible who you think exhibited some of those qualities?
Sure. Well, specifically talking about psychosis, I think, you know, Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar was king of Babylon around the time of, you know, Daniel as in the lion's den. And story goes basically that, you know, he had a dream. Daniel interpreted the dream. Nebuchadnezzar didn't believe Daniel. A little while later, all of a sudden, Nebuchadnezzar basically kind of, you know, basically had a breakdown, lived in the wilderness for about 7 years, and then all of a sudden returned to his kingdom and throne. What happened was pretty clearly a psychotic episode. He became very disorganized. He had a lot of psychotic symptoms. And after 7 or 8 years, the psychosis pretty much resolved, and he turned to the throne of Babylon.
I mean, do you see that sometimes, you know, people can have extended periods and then they resolve themselves? Is that something you see in people from time to time?
Definitely. Mental illness is very treatable. Not 100%, and it's hard to cure mental illness. It's more like a chronic condition, like diabetes or high blood pressure, which can be controlled but not necessarily cured, but absolutely all the time. Of course, there were no medications in the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and so I do go into that in the book a little bit. But with medications, the majority of people, even with psychotic illness, schizophrenia, whatnot, can expect to lead, you know, relatively normal lives.
We're talking with Dr. Raghi Gerges. The book is On Satan, Demons, and Psychiatry, Exploring Mental Illness in the Bible. And for those out there who are listening who maybe are struggling, it may not be as extreme as schizophrenia or bipolar, but maybe they're struggling with anxiety, depression, or other mental issues, you know, and who have maybe felt like, oh, this is because I don't have enough faith, or if I just trusted God more or whatever. What word of encouragement would you like to give them, both as a psychiatrist and as a fellow believer?
Sure. There's hope, number one, for mental illness. Very treatable. Speak to your pastor, because, again, they're usually knowledgeable about these things. speak with your primary care doctor, they will point you in the right direction. We can treat almost everything. Number two, mental illness is not related to sin. It's not your fault.
And if Dr. Gerges, if folks are interested in finding out more of a copy, how can they?
Sure. Well, thank you very much. The book is on Amazon. You can also look it up online. It's being sold on the Whippenstock webpage. Whippenstock is the publisher. And you can also just type in my name. I have a unique enough name that if you type in my name and anything about the book, one would be directed, you know, my webpage or someone else, you know, another webpage that would bring you to the book or a way that you could buy the book.
And by the way, to spell that, it's R-A-G-Y is his first name, and then G-I-R-G-I-S is his second name. So if you type that in, yes, I'm sure that'll come right up. Hey, Dr. Gerges.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for spending some time with us. I think it's an important book, and I think it'll be a great encouragement to many people out there. So we appreciate you addressing this from a biblical perspective and as a psychiatrist. So we really do appreciate your time this morning.
Yeah,
I appreciate you having me on the show. Thank you.